Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. Each week I bring to this program people I feel are really at the leading edge of consciousness and the evolution of our culture. And one important topic I feel are abductions, alien abductions. I know for myself that they're true, and for thousands of people around the world, they are an experience, and we'll be getting to really investigate that tonight with Yvonne Smith. Yvonne Smith is a certified hypnotherapist. She's been working in the field for 18 years, and I'm very happy she's my guest tonight. Yvonne?
Yes, hello.
Hi, thanks for being here. And you have a new book out called The Chosen?
It's called Chosen, Recollections of UFO Abductions Through Hypnotherapy.
Right, and you've been working with abductees for 18 years, actually?
About 18 years, yes.
Wow. And so there's no doubt in your mind that this is a reality, right?
That's right. At this point, there is no doubt that this is a very real phenomenon, a physical experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing that these people are making up, or it's some type of a psychosis. It's something truly very, very bizarre and different is happening.
Right, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Yvonne also works with post-traumatic stress syndromes as a result of abduction by these beings. But, you know, there are thousands, I think, of people who have had these, probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. But do they happen in the reality that we can sense? It seems, in my experiences, there's sort of a... there's an altered state. It actually feels like somehow another state of mind or consciousness. Do you find that to be true?
Yes, I do find that to be true. You know, some people, in fact, I just did a lecture and book signing this past Sunday, and one of the questions I had from the audience was, you know, was this a out-of-body type of experience? And of course it very well could be in some instances, but it is also very physical, because the person or persons are actually missing from their normal environment, and then they do come back with physical marks on their body.
Right, but there is some quality, I mean, I believe that they're physical too, but I also believe that these beings live in a slightly different, I mean, to encounter them, it's a shift in consciousness, I think.
I think I agree with you, Alan. I think I agree with you there.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm
just saying, so when we meet them, it is physical reality, but it's as if we're almost inhabiting a different world because our consciousness is different.
Yeah, well, absolutely. When someone has contact, they are absolutely encountering a different world, a different consciousness. I do agree with you there.
Right. So getting into trauma of this, and I think it is traumatic, and let me just, my theory of the trauma is that these beings are so different than anything else that we can ever conceive of in our reality, that it's a shock, what John Mack used to call ontological shock. It's a shock to the very fabric of the world we have insisted on being there. And that's the trauma.
Trauma, absolutely it is. You know, as I explained to the audience this past Sunday, and often when I lecture, is, you know, we did not grow up in our society studying about UFOs and extraterrestrial or alien beings. So when this contact happens, of course, it is traumatic, because there's no point of reference. And when someone tries to explain or talk to someone else about this experience, many times they are not believed, and the ridicule factor occurs,
right.
And they feel that they're violated a second time.
Right.
Those of us like, you know, myself, my colleagues Bud Hopkins, David Jacobs, the late John Mack, have been working with this and trying to bring it out in the open. Although, you know, some of us have encountered, you know, some very negative feedback from the general public, as, you know, Dr. John Mack had encountered something very difficult from, you know, where he was employed.
Oh, at Harvard.
Time.
I know. He used to tell the story, because I've interviewed John a bunch of times, and, you know, he really validated the experience. But Harvard said to him, because he was a psychiatry professor at Harvard, he said, can't you call this a pathology of sorts? And he said, no, these people aren't crazy, right?
That's right, and it's absolutely true that, as I mentioned before, being a certified hypnotherapist, I have the advantage of these people coming to me after they have had years of traditional therapy by
right.
psychiatrists, by psychologists, and there is just some area there, some small area that the traditional therapist cannot tap into.
Mm.
So they refer them to me, a person like myself.
Right. Were you aware of it before you started doing it, hypnotherapy? Were you aware of the situation?
I was only aware of it, Ellen, when I picked up, as many of my clients did, you know, when they told me the story of how this all opened up a can of worms for them, but I picked up the book Communion by
right.
Whitley Strieber, who I know very well. Well, right. at the time, of course, I didn't know him. I had taken my son to a bookstore. He had to get some information for a school project. I happened to look at this book cover, and, you know, with the face of the alien, of course, I didn't know what it was. I just picked it up and read the jacket information, and I thought, my gosh, this is something that sounds very interesting. And it said it was a true story,
mm-hmm.
and I very much am into real life, you know, drama, true story, because I feel I don't have time for for
right.
things that are, yeah, fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I read it in 2 days, Alan. I don't read anything in 2 days.
Huh.
It just captured my attention for some reason. I have no idea, but I feel that you know, studying hypnotherapy, working with PTSD victims, and going on to working with PTSD victims of abduction, this is my calling. This is my calling for whatever reason.
Mm. So you didn't have a problem believing the fact that this is happening when you first.
Well,
heard.
I didn't accept it out of hand, but I've always been a very open-minded person, thanks to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, this is a gray area, as we have in our, you know, in our world, you know, spirits, ghosts, whatever we want to call it. There's many gray areas, and I wanted to look into this more, but because I knew that UFO sightings were very real. I mean, my parents brought to the attention to me when I was born in 1952. In 1952, I believe it was July, there was a huge sighting over Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Several craft flying over. And I remember my parents talking to me about this.
Mm.
So I knew from a very young age that UFO sightings were very real.
Mm.
But, of course, I had never heard about abduction.
Right.
And but here we are. You know, somebody has to be flying these craft. And I think I was meant to. My calling was to help people that were experiencing this, help them through, and incorporate this into their lives.
There's so much I want to ask you. Like, I mean, the government conspiracy on keeping this a secret, but you know, there's endless debates about that. I do believe the government's keeping this a secret for whatever reason, But do you think the abductions are still happening? David Jacobs, or no, was it, no, John Mack, I think, said in, I think, one of his last books that he thought the whole thing was changing, the whole situation was changing. Do you believe that's true? Or are people still... No?
People are still being, abducted, taken. But I believe that we are heading towards the next phase. This is very difficult because, of course, I don't have tangible proof yet.
No,
but I feel the next phase is having to do with the hybrid program.
Right.
I feel that, especially in my book, the one chapter about John, who was presented his baby.
Uh-huh.
It was very difficult for him to even get through three sessions before he would even look at the baby in the tank. Well,
uh-huh.
When I did an interview with him, because I said, the reading audience would want to know how you're doing now. And we did an almost two-hour interview for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about being taken periodically to their environment to interact with his child, to
right.
teach his child certain things about living here on Earth. And he said, I knew I was limited and I could only teach him certain things. But they obviously needed him to interact with his child. Now he knows his child is older and is ready to, in other words, leave the nest.
Right.
It's very interesting. It's to see the growth, the emotional growth, the spiritual growth of John when he started out to be extremely traumatized and he couldn't even talk about this. When I first met him. And, when I founded CERO, Close Encounter Resource Organization, he came to the meetings, and when he spoke about his experience, he all he could do was cry.
Wow.
Then he's talking about, the growth and helping his child develop. It was amazing. And I have it in his chapter, the end of his chapter, because I thought it was very important for the reading audience to know, what is going on with the hybrid program.
I think so. Actually, I think in a dream state, I was handed one of these little children, and it looked like a deer, a big animal. I mean, a fairly sized child-sized deer. With big eyes, I know those are screen memories, but I didn't feel any emotional connection to this being. It was sort of freaked me out in a way,
Sure. Oh, of course. And I'm pretty sure that as you felt it was a deer with large eyes, it was a screen memory, and it was maybe the only way at the time that you would be able to deal with it.
Right, but I was conscious enough to know somebody. Well, they sort of woke me up, whoever these people beings were, by sort of rubbing this thing inside my inside thigh, and that was sort of a strange way to wake somebody up. And then they put this thing in my hands, and I was left to connect with it, I guess, but I didn't because it was just so odd. And then I just went back to sleep. I guess I don't really have.
So let me ask you, Ellen. Have you had other experiences, very vivid dreams of seeing a child or these children later?
You know, I don't have any other dreams of seeing the child. I have dreams of being on a craft. I have dreams of high-pitched noises in my ear. But that was the only time I remembered really having, something to deal with. I do think there was DNA extracted from me. I do have memories of that. But no, I don't know. Maybe my recall is not as clear. Maybe I need some hypnotherapy.
Have you? And so you've never had a regression?
No, I never really had a formal regression. I had somebody who did sort of something, but he wasn't trained in it. It actually freaked him out to start to deal with I mean, you really have to need someone like you who's familiar with the subject, who's dealt with this, who's skilled at looking at the markers,
yeah.
I think. And,
it's true.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to be very careful of who you seek out to, you know, work with you on especially something like this. Because even when I went through hypnotherapy college, Ellen, this was not taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, you know, it wasn't, Abductions 101 was not taught. I just learned the mechanics of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel with many, you know, callings in our life that I was just meant to do this work. You just have to know how to pose the question, what to do when someone begins reliving the experience, how
mm-hmm.
to calm the person down. Believe me, when I first started my work, I had, you know, 6'5" men that owned their own businesses practically jump off the couch because they began reliving the experience.
Wow.
And you have to know how to calm that person down.
But how come people say hypnosis isn't valid? I mean, there's a lot of people who claim that about, especially
well,
with abduction.
I really feel that, you know, hypnosis is really been, as Bud, my colleague Bud Hopkins called mm-hmm. it, the whipping boy, you know, in the last few years of, it's so easy to blame hypnosis. However, it is a very useful and valid tool in extracting hidden memories. How the problem is that the person that is doing the work, the hypnotherapy work, has to be a skilled person and,
mm-hmm.
and an educated person. And, you know, when you take someone can take a weekend course and hang up the shingle, call themselves hypnotherapy, which is very unfortunate. I believe that the state of California is now going into a different phase with hypnotherapy where they're going to license hypnotherapists. I'm certified,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, just as they do with, you know, psychologists and so forth, they will begin licensing hypnotherapists, which I feel would be very important and a good step to follow.
So, I mean, I'm familiar with this, but there must be people out there, and maybe you could talk about the symptoms of a post-traumatic stress abduction, because I'm sure there's people who have something going on, and they don't even suspect being abducted by aliens and something as far out as that. What kind of symptoms do people have that they would, you know, signify this, that they wouldn't know that something like this was going on? Do you know?
You know, it usually will follow, or many times will follow, a, you know, just a sighting of a very bright light or even a strange object. I've had families that have seen an object in the sky that they couldn't identify, and the strange part of this phenomena is they'll say they'll be out on in their backyard, they'll see a strange craft. They'll turn around, walk back in the house, and not talk about this for 10 years.
Right.
Then some of them will have very vivid dreams or recurring dreams or fear of a certain place or I'm trying to think. It'll have a certain area, a certain room in their home. The recurring dreams are very common, and it poses a red flag for me.
Mm.
Of course, I'll have then they describe what the vivid dream is.
Would they they might feel anxiety for no reason or other,
yes,
what other?
Yes, it's something that they really cannot pinpoint, but many times following, as I mentioned, a sighting or seeing a light in the sky or seeing something very strange in their room.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we don't have a point of reference, as I mentioned before, so they'll say there was a little ghost in my room or a
mm-hmm.
little, the children will call them little doctors, or you, because there is no, or say a cartoon character.
Mm-hmm.
This does begin in childhood, as you probably know, Ellen,
yeah.
It starts in childhood.
Yeah, I know. But would they exhibit, like someone who wasn't even familiar with the whole experience, never even read a book, would they exhibit some type of strange behavior sometimes?
Sure. sure. It's post-traumatic stress disorder happens when someone experiences a traumatic event. Now, I work in my regular practice, I work with many people who have had car accidents, and that happens very often, where they have difficulty getting back in their car, driving through the intersection where they were hit. And it was very, very interesting to me, because the post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms that these people that, you know, had car accidents, or say they were rape victims or something other than UFO related, it displayed the same type of symptoms as someone who had contact experience with a UFO.
What are those symptoms? Yeah.
As I mentioned, reoccurring dreams, nightmares, a fear of a certain place, certain stretch of road, certain room in their house. But we have to differentiate. And that's why I do a life history. I have them fill out a life history questionnaire, and I go through, questioning them about, family history and so forth.
But it must be very strange for these people to exhibit post-traumatic stress disorders with no visible traumatic stress. A lot of people don't even know, and so that's the strange thing that you're dealing with. People come to you and they said nothing happened, or nothing to their conscious awareness happened, right?
Well, it's after, as I mentioned before, maybe a sighting or, something, you know, of course, very obvious, but not obvious to them immediately, is the missing of one or more hours of time when they're driving down a highway from, say, the airport, their local airport, to home. They know it takes, maybe 2 hours at the most.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't arrive till, 4 hours later. And 20 years later, all of a sudden, they think, what happened? Why did that take so long? Or they knew that when they arrived at home, they thought, why am I so late? Or the families are upset. Why are you so late? And that haunts them for years and years. A classic case, and I just had Stan Friedman and Kathleen Martin, Betty Hill's niece, speak here in Southern California. We had an event.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Betty and Barney Hill case was it's a very historical case because that was the first documented missing time case.
And first real documented abduction case.
And it was a double abduction.
Yeah.
Now in my book, I talk about two double abduction cases, which involves missing time. And so, I feel that, this phenomenon, we still have so much to learn about this.
Mm.
I think we're just tapping the tip of the iceberg, but we just know that something is occurring. And, yes, I feel that we're going on to the next phase, as I mentioned, having to do with the hybrid program. I feel that people have had contact here on Earth with the perfected hybrids, and I feel they're being filmed and pictures are being taken. Our technology now with cell phone cameras and video cameras and so forth, this is going to be happening more and more.
Do you ever think there'll be a time where we really embrace them openly, these hybrid and alien beings, and they become part of our everyday reality?
Well, that's the whole thing, Ellen. I'm hoping that is going to be the scenario. And this is why I call, in my book, I talk about what is the purpose of the hybrid program. Is it that they're perfecting these hybrids where they're going to come down here or be down here and live side by side with us?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they here for a more sinister program of
takeover,
like invasion of the body snatchers.
Right. What do you think?
At this point, we don't know. That's the unnerving part of it. We don't know.
But do you have a what's your general feeling about that? What do you think?
You know, I have not drawn a conclusion about it yet. I just know that people have come across them here. I'm hoping that they will want to be here side by side with us for whatever reason, you know, whatever is happening with their planet. Because I think as human beings, we would embrace them.
We would not.
We would. If we knew
yeah.
that they weren't here to do us any harm. I don't think if they wanted to wipe us out, Alan, as you know, that would have happened in
right.
the 40s or 50s or whenever.
Right.
But
do you think people will really embrace them? We hardly even embrace each other. I mean, look how many wars. I mean, people are...
Well, that's the problem, too, is you know, do we blame them for not showing themselves blatantly? They always say, oh, you know, people that are not versed in this and educated in this whole field, you know, why don't they land at the White House lawn? You know, that's the pat,
yeah.
you know, question. Well, my gosh, as you mentioned, we can't even get along with each other.
Right.
I would just hope that if they came down and introduced themselves, that we would embrace them.
Right. I would think so. But so why do you think, is it a normal aspect of psychology to block this out, or do you feel the aliens are blocking the memory? That's an important question I've had.
You know what, Ellen, I think both. I think, you know, our subconscious job is to protect us. So mm-hmm. anytime someone suffers a traumatic event, whether it's an accident, a rape, child abuse, or an abduction,
mm-hmm.
the subconscious will block it out or block some of it out, percentage of it out.
Right.
And I feel that part of it could be the abductors blocking out the memory, erasing part of the memory. However, you know, they haven't been able to block out all of it because people like myself are able to tap into the hidden memories. But I honestly don't think that they have meant to block everything out.
Uh-huh.
Because I think if they're so far advanced than we are, I wouldn't be able to tap into it at all if they really wanted people to forget.
Right. So when do you think the whole abduction program actually started on this planet?
Oh gosh, it could have been hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Really? Not a recent phenomenon, you don't feel?
Well, you think about they talk about the cave paintings of thousands of years ago, where you see cave paintings of very strange beings with large heads and a flying machines, you know, next to them, drawn next to them. You see the Nazca lines in Peru, where you could only see them from the sky. That's another very strange phenomenon.
Well, like the crop circles, you can only really see from
the crop circles are, you know, I feel another form of communication
mm-hmm.
from them.
Mm-hmm.
So this hasn't been. I mean, the first publicized case here in the United States was the Betty and Barney Hill case in the early '60s. But I just know that it, you know, this stems back from way, way before that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Antonio Villas-Boas in South America, I can't remember the exact country, but I believe that was even before the Betty and Barney Hill case.
Right.
He was abducted.
And if you read the Charles Fort books, he reports about UFOs in the 1800s. Do you
mm-hmm.
know Charles Fort?
I do not know him. I've heard the name.
Yeah, he checked out a lot of anomalies. He lived around the turn of the century of the early 1900s and wrote he scoured newspapers all around the world and found very anomalous reports about different activities in the sky. And yeah, he was just way ahead of his time predicting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so what do you do then? Okay, so people have been abducted, they've had trauma, and how do you work with them?
What I do is, once I go through the background and the family history and spoken to their therapist, and in other words, establish that the person is stable and not fantasy prone and, you know, so forth and so on. I regress them back to a particular time and place. It could be when they were 5 years old or 20 years old, or depending on what has been on their mind, what is the most important event or memory or you know, vivid dream that they feel that they really need to find out, to tap into. And I use my my hypnotherapy training.
Right.
And it's just basically a, you know, mental, it's a mental massage, mental back rub, just getting them into a deep state of relaxation, and then just bringing them back to that particular month, day, year, and starting there. And depending on what happens. Now, nothing could come out at all. Sometimes all kinds of information comes forward. I just never know.
So, but do they get to heal the trauma, the post-traumatic stress syndrome?
Oh, yes.
Do they get to heal that, though?
You know, it seems that when the memories, and many times they're very frightening, because when the person is regressed, they relive the trauma, that experience. But even though, and I explained to them, even though it may be frightening, that once we bring the memories up to the surface, to a conscious level, that they will feel much relief. Because then they'll know, okay, this is what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people, they're not alone, in other words, and that's why I established Zero, for them to eventually come to the group meetings.
So
know what it is.
So what is the most frightening thing that people experience? What is it that really freaks them out in these?
Oh, of course, being placed on an examination table. Then they start seeing the alien medical instruments. We don't know what they're called, and many times we don't know what some of these things are for.
Uh-huh.
All we know is go by the descriptions of the abductee when they're on the examination table, and you know they have needle-like instruments, and they're you know poked and prodded, and you know sperm is taken, ova is taken, then you know. Eventually presented with these very strange-looking babies, and or they're taken into another room and they're shown pictures of devastation of the earth.
Right.
And that's another phase of this, earthquakes and tsunamis and, you know, just all this devastation and being told that we're not taking care of our planet and we really need to pay attention because this might happen. So it just, the messages that are given to these abductees are just, you know, I feel that they're too much sometimes for any individual to, you know, to absorb all at once, and especially going through this very strange experience that they had no idea could happen.
Right. So do they get used to it eventually? I mean, I know Jim Sparks says he's used to it and stays very conscious. Have you talked to him and other people?
I've met Jim in I met him in Laughlin.
Yeah.
And yes, and other people, of course, have you know, it's not their, you know, many of them say it's not that I've accepted it, but I know that I can't stop it and it's part of my life, and Now I just want to understand it. Is mm-hmm. basically what they want to do. Is they want to understand it.
Right. I mean, I know it must have affected. I mean, people can become alcoholics and lots of things they haven't. Right.
Oh yes, they. You know, that's something that I've spoken to Bud about over the years. That, you know, he said in his support group meetings, he asked me, "Do you have a lot of smokers?" And I said, "Yes, I do." You know, because he said, you know, the ashtrays are just overflowing. You know, it's a way of someone trying to numb themselves.
Right.
As I mentioned before, it's a trauma. So they're, you know, they try to numb themselves by drinking or sometimes taking drugs, smoking, you know, a diversion. But they eventually know that it's not going to stop it.
Uh-huh.
And they know that they're heading towards a, you know, very destructive road there.
It's a trauma, but do you know anyone, have you worked with anyone who's actually physically harmed during their abduction experience?
Physically harmed as far as, you know, with the alien medical experiments or examinations.
But
mainly it's the emotional part of it.
Right.
Now,
so,
with women, you know, I must say they've suffered from very strange gynecological problems.
I see.
And, you know, we feel that could be part of, you know, what they do with, you know, when they do the examinations, when they interfere with regular pregnancies.
Or they implant fetuses in women, I have heard, and then for 3 months, a couple of months, and then they remove them, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't have any evidence that it because of, you know, the aliens. However, these women have had these experiences all of their lives. So we could only surmise that it's because of, you know, the alien intervention, in other words.
Right. And so how many people have you worked with in this
field? Gosh, you know, I haven't done a complete count, but somebody asked me that just this past week, and I, you know, it could be close to 1,000 cases.
Really? Wow.
Over the last 18 years.
And what's the percentage of the U.S. population, let's just say, do you feel has had experiences that they may or may not know of?
Well, I remember the Roper poll doing they did a poll. They sent out questionnaires, and I forget to how many people.
It was something like 5% or something of the population. I mean,
yes,
it
was 1 in 50.
Isn't that incredible?
That had experiences, anomalous type of experiences that could point to an abduction. Yes, it's very incredible.
I mean, if that's 1 out of 50 people, that's like, you know, practically every other person you see on the street in New York.
That's right. And that's why, you know, I talk to audiences. I say, well, you know, what would you do if a family member came to you or a friend of yours who you've known for years, and you know that they're a stable person, all of a sudden told you, you know, I've been having this experience, because it's that type of that could happen. You know,
or the other way around, you tell people like, "Hey, I think you've had an experience." They refuse to believe it. You know, I like my mother. I know I'm pretty sure, and I'm sure you agree that it follows generations, right?
Yes, it does. Oh, it absolutely does.
And so I remember my mother telling me the only time she ever lived out of New York was in 1947. She was in the Southwest, and then she developed a fear of cats. And I, you know, she doesn't believe anything, I believe, but I said, you know, that does sound like you've had some kind of abduction experience. And she just refuses to believe it. I mean,
in 1947, she was in the Southwest. That's when Roswell happened. Yeah,
exactly. I thought that was very strange. The only time she ever lived out of...
Where
she was in Tucson, but she was out there for her allergies. And, you know, I guess she was like 12 years old or something. And,
my goodness.
But that, isn't that strange? She was out there in 47, the only time
absolutely.
She ever
absolutely. When you said 47, Southwest, my God.
Yeah, I know, right there, right there. And she says her and her mother used to get lost in the mountains. And, you know, it just seemed like, oh, I just was able to pinpoint that lineage and of generations for me of abduction, you know?
Absolutely. It does run intergenerational. We know that for a fact. You know, it just, I've worked with many families, and for whatever reason they choose these particular people and families, we don't know, because, you know, everybody comes from different, you know, ethnic backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, you know, and that's why I named my book Chosen.
But don't you think, go ahead.
Some people feel they were chosen for a higher purpose. Other people are still going through the anger of, you know, why does this happen to me? I didn't give them permission to do this. You know,
so do you think the gene splicing, I mean, that's what I think, they're taking a couple of genes for your eyes and this person's hair, and they're creating a synthesis in these beings.
Yes. I think, you know, over the years, these, you know, the hybrids have been, are being perfected. I think that's why my one client, John, the chapter about John, he was periodically abducted and taken to his child to teach him and direct him and so forth. And it's just a very, you know, where are these hybrid children going to go? And are they, as, you know, as we've spoken about before, are they going to live among us?
Right. Now, do you think that's the main purpose, though, for the abduction?
I think it's a very central. I don't know if it's the main purpose, but it sure seems to be a very, you know, principal part of the whole phenomenon.
And did you say you think the abductions are still happening? Are you getting cases?
Yes, I think they're. Yes, people are having ongoing experiences.
And but it's changing. You said slightly the cases or.
You know, I think slightly towards. I think towards this whole hybridization. But then there's people still coming forward that who are just beginning to know or realize that they've had this experience. So, you know, I go from square one.
Mm-hmm.
With these, because of course they need to know,
right.
To you know, to the other side of the spectrum of people feel that they're, you know, they've come across these very human looking alien beings. Of course they don't know that that's what they are, that's who they are.
Mm.
But in my last chapter in my book talks about a woman who came across a very human but very different because he read her mind.
Right.
Her name is Rita Gaines, and she's the last chapter. And I wanted to add another chapter of something, another case very similar, but I just ran out of time, and my publishers, we have to get this done. And I could have kept adding.
Who's your publisher?
It's Backstage Entertainment.
Uh-huh.
And if anyone would like to order the book, Chosen, they can do so on my website at www.ysmith.com.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that, because I'm putting it out there, Ellen, because I just feel that we just need to keep educating people about this phenomenon.
Right. So you've had people come to you with new experiences, or people who have just, I mean, recently had remembered old experiences. I'm just curious.
Both.
They stopped abducting me, I think. I don't remember having an experience in a really long time.
You know, it's a very curious phenomenon that people that I've worked with for years that are a part of Cyril have had a break. You know, they haven't had experience for months or years, and then something happens.
Really?
In other words, with John, and I'll use John as an example. When he had not had an experience for a very long time, probably a couple of years, we did that interview for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the next morning, Alan, he woke up with a triangle on his hand.
Wow.
And it's almost he felt them telling him, we know you talked to her, we know what you're doing, we're here.
Huh.
You know, we're not going away, we're here.
So that's what I'm saying back at the beginning of the interview, that they sort of exist in this multidimensional realm.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why it's so hard to actually put your finger on them, because they're physical, but not quite in physical in the same way we're physical, I think.
Right. We're really not in control of this whole experience right now. I know people want to. There's many people that I've met that feel it's all positive, and you know, I let them have that. If they feel it's all positive, I'm not going to take that away from them.
Right.
But I feel that the majority of people don't feel that it's all positive. They've started out being very, you know, traumatized over it, although they eventually, over the years, have incorporated it into their lives. But we still do not know what the aliens' ultimate plan is, and that's what's unnerving.
Right. I do tend to think it's more positive. Like you said, if we wanted to take over, they would have. And, you know, it is traumatic because we're not taught about the real nature of reality. I think, actually, we exist on all those realms as well, but we've been locked into believing we're just here in this limited space, right?
Well, I'm hoping that it is true that eventually they're going to want to live side by side with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I certainly would welcome them, you know, as long as they tell me what they're doing, and especially with me doing this work.
Right.
I talk to them all the time saying, you know, you have to tell me what you're doing so I can help these people even more.
When you say you talk to them, how do you talk to them? Because you know they're listening.
I just talk to them. Sometimes I walk outside and I just say, okay, guys, you've got to give me some more information. So I want to be a better therapist, you know. So I just know that I'm supposed to be doing this work, and I really appreciate you doing shows like this, Alan.
No, it's very exciting for me because I think we are in the middle of our transition, and I think, you know, this evidence will come out more and more, and it's time. It's time we just open the whole thing up.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
To a new possibility of what's out there and who we are, and the fact that there's more to the universe than we've been conditioned to believe is out there.
Oh, yes. There's so much that that we just don't understand, but sometimes I think it's exciting because, you know, the world isn't black and white, and there's many things that we still have, you know, yet to learn.
What do you think of Rick Straussman's book about the DMT experiences, modeling the abduction experiences? Have you read that?
I have not.
Oh,
now, what is that all about?
That's, these people have been given this drug called DMT. I don't know what that stands for. It's a kind of, I think, hallucinogen. But they seem to have internal abduction-like experiences, seeing themselves being operated on, just in their own minds through the use of this drug. And this researcher named Rick Straussman has done that work. There's also a new book out called The Inner Paths to Outer Space, also by Rick Straussman and some other people, talking about these drug experiences, modeling types of alien abduction experiences. So he's saying it, these experiences could possibly exist in an inner world inside of us. I mean,
yeah, but you're talking about them. These people were given a certain drug.
Yes, DMT.
Well, How, you know, these people that I've worked with, you know, hundreds of people have not been given this drug.
Oh, no, they haven't, but they're saying the people who have had similar experiences. I know most people haven't been, but there's people that they've
Because they've been exposed to the details of the experience. I am sorry, Alan, with, you know, people coming out with theories like this.
No. What I think, though, is that people are reliving the experiences that they buried in their subconscious because of the use of these drugs. I think that might be what's happening.
That could be. You know, that could be. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to, read what he had to say. But
it's an interesting.
I hope he's not saying that it is all drug induced.
No. I don't think he's saying that. I'm not sure what he's saying, but he's saying it's interesting because I know these are. I mean, I know they're real, and I know it's a paradigm shift to have the rest of the population realize that these are also real experiences. What do you think it'll take for that, for the world to wake up and validate this?
Oh, maybe a blatant sighting. But, you know, unfortunately, we had that sighting, that very good sighting over O'Hare Airport a couple years ago where many witnesses, you know, pilots and the ground crew saw it and took pictures. You know, and whoever they were, try to explain it away. I don't know what it's going to take, Alan. What it's going to take are the skeptics and debunkers being abducted and having to seek out people like me for help. That's probably what it's going to take.
In this little few minutes left, talk about your organization, Ciro, and how that works with people.
Yes, Close Encounter Resource Organization is an organization I founded for people who wanted to come together. It's a support group to talk about their experiences in a very safe environment, talk about all these theories or fears. They can laugh, they can cry. It's just, I've had hundreds of people coming in and out of Ciro, and it's been great because they've become like a family to me and to each other. But it is a private group. It's not a public group where they pay dues, but I purposely kept it private because of having a safe haven for them.
And how often do you meet?
Once a month.
Okay.
And anybody who'd like to, you know, email me at Yvonne@ysmith.com or go through my website at www.ysmith.com, and they can contact me and order my book and DVD, my interview with Bud Hopkins. And I have another project coming up. I have another book that I'm going to be writing, and, of course, with all my, you know, upcoming lectures and so forth, appearances. You know, I just want to just keep putting it out there, Alan.
Great. One more question I wanted to ask you about abduction. Do people report having a relationship with an alien of the opposite sex, a specific alien? Sometimes,
yes. I may at some point write about that. I know Bud wrote that about in his book about the Linda Cortili case.
Right, and it's that woman Eve down in Southern California, Lachlan, what's her name?
Oh, yes, Eve. I remember Eve. I met her a few years ago.
Yeah, she has some interesting
things. But
that
does happen. You know, that does happen.
Right, because seems to be a significant feature in some cases, you know. Like there's a guy named David Huggins out here who's a painter who's painted his whole abduction experience. You'd love that.
Amazing.
Are you going to be in New York at all lecturing?
I hope so. So spread the word because I'd love to come back. I've been to New York several times to do shows and interviews and so forth. And the last time I was out there for the Montel Williams show.
Oh, great. Well, I'm working on it with an organization called Culture of Contact, and we might do something next October. We maybe
I'd love to come back. I love New York.
Okay.
And Ellen, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I've been talking with Yvonne Smith, the author of Chosen. And the publisher again is who?
Backstage Entertainment.
Backstage Entertainment. And our website is esmith.com.
It's
www.ysmith.com. Ysmith.com.
Uh-huh.
Right, right, right. And, yeah, I look forward to reading the book and talking to you again and having you back on the show.
Thank you, Ellen. I look forward to it, too.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Ellen Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, you can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. You can also check my website, newrealities.tv or newrealities.com. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.